Welcome to Oh No You Didn't. We've watched this rubbish so you don't have to. This week, X-Files, Season 2, Episode 7, 3. So, let's go!
Before you were born!
Welcome everyone to this new episode of Oh No You Didn't. Unfortunately, my co-host Darren can't join me this week. However, I do have three excellent guests for you, and they are Agent Angela.
Hello everyone.
Agent M.
Hey everybody.
And Agent Shadow.
Hi guys.
They are from an amazing X-Files podcast called X-Files Truth. Before we start talking about this, the episode that we're reviewing this week, do you want to tell everybody about, a bit about your podcast? Agent Shadow, do you want to go first?
Okay, sure. Thanks, Shane. If you're not familiar with the show, it goes about an hour long, and we cover each episode, one episode at a time. And we started it a few years ago with a couple different agents, but the current set of agents we have now do such an excellent job. I'm just so happy with Agent Angela, Agent M, and Agent Stone, who can't be here. I feel bad about that. But he provides some ton of insight and in-depth and all kinds of like the science behind the show. So, but it's been going for about 3 years. We started with Agent Chelsea, who helped, and Agent Summer. And they're still around, but they're not part of the podcast anymore. But that's what we got so far. I'm very lucky to have the guys we have right now.
Excellent, excellent. I personally love this show because it's not like any other TV review podcast I've ever listened to. It's not a podcast where they just discuss the episode. They discuss a lot of other bits and bobs as well. Agent Angela, do you want to tell everyone about your segment?
Sure. I cover the character and relationship moments between Mulder and Scully, because we know there have always been a lot of people who have shipped these two. So anything that happens in the episode, any little moments, I go over that. And in the some of them where there's not so much of that, I go into a little bit of character, like how both of them deal with different situations with these often quite bizarre cases that they're facing. So that's mainly what I talk about.
Excellent, excellent. I mean, anyone who's listened to my previous podcast, the Red Wolf Introcast, it knows that I don't go into spoilers that much. Is your podcast spoilery at all? I mean, do you talk about future episodes?
Only to the extent if it applies directly to what we're talking about at the moment. But I do my best to not give away. I actually try to keep the suspense in an episode because I find so many of the episodes, even the non-mythology episodes, they have such an open end to them that it seems like you could have a sequel to half of the episodes that they have. And luckily we did get a few sequels to a lot of different episodes, but not all of them. So I actually think they could put together a whole nother season of just sequels to those. But I personally try to stay away from spoilers, although we can't always do that, but I do try to stay away from it.
Excellent. Yeah, because how I got involved in the X-Files myself personally was the VHS releases. And they started very, very weirdly. I mean, they started with the final episode of season 2. But
that's weird.
Yeah, that is absolutely bizarre. But you can hear more about that actually on the new X-Files Truth that's coming out the same day as this one, actually.
Excellent. This Sunday.
Yeah, indeed. Yes, we're recording this on Thursday, so it'll be coming out the same day as this one will be. But yeah, Agent M, what do you bring to the show?
Well, I'm just lazy. I don't do anything.
I knew it.
No, I work behind
the
scenes.
You do some things.
I do some things. I do little productive things. Now, I work behind the scenes. I came in about halfway in the first season. What was it? Was it EBE I started with? Or
I think so.
Or is it Miracle,
I think so too.
Miracle Man?
One of those
I think two. It is. But I work behind the scenes. I rip the dialogue, and I try to isolate the music the best I can to, you know, for the snow tracks as well. But, you know, and it's a little bit challenging trying to get the dialogue out. But sometimes you get some good long scenes that it's just music playing, and that's what I try to get. And I did the web report most of the second season, and then I just went back to working behind the scenes again.
Yeah, and can I plug him a little bit, Shane?
Go, take it, please.
Okay, cool, because like he said, he does the music for Snow Tracks, and that's, for people that don't know, it's just the non-soundtrack music from Mark Snow that I wanted to put out there for people. And once I was doing it, it got really overwhelming because the X-Files Truth podcast is such it's a huge production. There's so many things that I have to do that I kind of put Snow Tracks on the back burner, and it just went for too long without any episodes. And then me and Agent M were talking, and he agreed to help me out with ripping the music because he's really good at doing that. And then I could still produce the show and put it out there. So he's a lifesaver with that, because not only we get the music for the X-Files Truth podcast, but he's helped me relaunch Snow Tracks. And when he did that for me, I figured I'd start from the very beginning because we got better quality music too. So we just completely relaunched Snow Tracks. And we also now have behind every episode that you'll hear all the music that Agent M ripped. So you don't hear him anymore because he doesn't do the web report, so you don't hear his voice, but every time you hear music in the background, you can thank him. So he's been a huge plus.
Excellent. I mean, your podcast is monthly?
Yes.
And it comes out on the first Sunday of every month, doesn't it?
Correct.
Excellent. And the website is?
xfilestruth.com.
Excellent. And of course, as I said, one thing actually I fell in love actually with the podcast was Agent Stone's background information, and then actually the music that he plays at the start of at the start of his segment, which I believe is from Tunes.
At the beginning of Agent Stone.
Yeah.
You said.
Yeah.
I have I can pull his folder up right now. You can keep talking, but I'll pull up the exact folder where he is. Let's see.
And just because that causes the podcast to be quite atmospheric.
Yeah, I use he requested certain music, and I'm just not finding it at the second.
That's cool.
I think I know what it is. Give me what y'all talk.
Okay.
I think it's from Softlight.
Yeah, but it's got a different name. Mark Snow's got a different name for it. And I'm drawing a blank on it now. But
Truth in the Light. Oh, it's from that one too.
Okay. Yeah, because he requested that. Normally, I try to use different music every week, but sometimes, like I think Angela likes a certain song behind her stuff too. So that's totally fine. If somebody likes to have, you know, a certain song is kind of like their anthem or a signature sound that they like. So that's no problem at all. But if no one has a preference, I'll throw in some new music so people are always getting new Mark Snow music.
I usually use a few different ones from the Mark Snow and John Beale movements 1 through 5 on each of mine. And sometimes if they're too short, then lately I've been putting in some things from the 20th anniversary collection. So it varies a little bit, but I usually stick to those.
Excellent. Oh, we're going to be moving on to our discussion of the episode. And if you didn't hear it in the introduction, we'll be discussing the episode 3 from the second season. The vampire episode.
The first one.
Yep, the first one. And also the first episode that Gillian Anderson isn't appearing in.
That's correct.
Because she's off giving birth.
I thought she was abducted. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, you have it right.
Having a baby in real life.
Yes.
No, she was being abducted. You got that right.
Yeah. going back to what I was saying before, on the VHS releases, it released the three-parter. So we're talking about the Abduction two-parter, and it also released One Breath as one two-hour-long movie and completely cut this episode out.
You guys never got it released too. At all really? In the UK?
We did when the complete season box set was come out.
Oh, okay, that's right. I forgot about that.
But as a standalone tape, only those three episodes were edited together to make one two-hour movie.
I think that's kind of cool.
Yeah, it's different.
So it took me years to actually see this. Well, the missing episode, as it were. So yeah,
you didn't miss much, right?
Yeah, exactly. Let's get into it.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not exactly the best episode of the X-Files. However, it was written by Glenn Morgan, James Wong, and Chris Rubenthal. Is that how you pronounce it?
Looks like Rubenthal.
Yeah, I've never come across his name since in the X-Files. Do anybody have a any information on him or not really?
Doesn't ring a bell, and there's no link to him. I'm on the Wikipedia page for 3 right now.
Yeah.
And everybody else has a link except him.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't remember seeing him in any other writer's credits on any episode.
Agent M, you're starting to sound like a Dalek now.
Oh no! How's this? Is it better?
There we go.
Yeah.
Okay, it's a loose connection. Just keep me updated.
Keep on keeping on.
Okay, yeah, you sound better now.
That's fine. Yeah, because so we can blame. So as I was saying, we can blame this entire mess on him then.
Yeah, he's not there to defend himself.
Yeah.
Yeah. We open with a man getting murdered by vampires. That scene, that opening scene for me personally, went way too long.
Yeah.
Sorry, Agent Shelley, you were saying?
No, it's basically just agreeing. They did take a little bit too long. I do like what they did with the canyon fires that were actually happening at the time. So they played on that, and the sky really was, had that red look to it. So they did a good job, and maybe they were just lucky that they did a vampire story during canyon fires that would make the sky turn red, so they played up that whole red theme a lot, which I did like. And I don't hate this episode as much as I thought I did. It's still not a good one, but it's at least watchable. But yeah, the opening scene went too long. I agree.
Yeah. We got to the credit sequence. Then we see Agent Mulder back in the X-Files office for the first time in, I think it was 3-4 months.
Yeah, you see him switching the pages on the calendar, and it goes from May to November, I think. I just rewatched it.
Don't get me wrong, I love this scene. Don't get me wrong, I do. I think it's probably the best scene in the entire episode. It is the best scene in the entire episode. But for me, thinking about it logically, in the FBI, they're a bit crammed in for space. I'm surprised nobody else moved in the time.
Yeah, and we see him pulling off all that plastic sheeting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I guess that room was it was always, they referred to it as like an unused room, or like once it was the copier room. So I guess it always was not a very important room.
Didn't mention that once.
Yeah.
Where they used to put the copier.
Yeah, so now they just use it for storage, I guess, until he came back. That was nice of him.
Yeah.
You saw what he was putting in the file, right?
Agent Scully's badge and glasses.
Yeah, and her necklace.
Yeah, and then he started wearing her necklace too.
Yeah, which was lovely.
Yeah, that's right.
And then her clothes. No, I'm just kidding.
Different show.
Yes.
we're going into Twin Peaks territory here.
Yeah, I know. Okay.
Oh, that's funny.
And real quick, I was going to tell you the Chris Rosenthal. He also did Roland, and that's it.
Oh, he did Roland. Okay.
Oh, okay.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. I like that one.
So that's his two, at least the writing stints. So anyway.
I like that one from the first season.
That's
all right.
I thought Roland was good. Yeah, I liked it.
Yeah, he goes to the crime scene and gets and he gets showed off by the little sergeant, which I thought was quite funny. And then he goes to the blood bank, and he finds the first vampire.
I thought it was kind of a cool little scene when Mulder first comes into that dark building and sees the vampire known as the Sun. Like, you see behind him for just a little bit the red sky, I guess with some, I guess it's part of a street lamp too, but it looks very bright red, just like the canyon fire behind it. Yeah. So I thought that was kind of a cool thing.
Yeah, they kept that theme going. I liked it.
Mm. Yeah, the last time I rewatched it, I tried to make a list of everything they use for that red theme going through it. And I got like the sky, the red wine, red lips, red fingernails.
Oh, yeah.
Of course, blood, Kristen's red blouse. I guess I'm kind of getting ahead of myself.
But that, and
that was Mulder's blouse. I'm just kidding. I'm sorry. I'll knock it off.
No, that's great, man.
Okay.
Then he gets and then he interviews the suspect, and this is actually one of the first bits of X-Files I ever saw.
Really?
Cool.
When he interviews him, and he gets burned by the sunshine coming through the window.
Ah, yes, I remember that.
Actually, that's the scene right after it, because when he interviews him, he uses that red light to talk to him. But then isn't there the next morning or something? I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Those both little bits were actually on Secrets of the X-Files VHS release, which was packaged together with the first X-Files VHS release. So I had the Anasazi Possessing Way paperclip three-parter. Yeah, I love that too. First bit ever. And also we had the Secrets of the X-Files all packaged together into one-to-one package.
Cool.
And we go into the club. And don't know about you, but that was very, very typical goth stereotyping.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. I've personally never been in one, but I could probably see that if you compare it to other things in that goth culture. I don't really know all that much about it except the basics.
It's very it's written by people who don't know the culture, basically. I mean, I used to have a goth nightclub in a town that I used to live in.
Oh.
It was like a normal club.
They didn't have cages and all that stuff?
Nope. Nothing.
Okay.
Nothing like that. Just
so the only thing different was just the type of music? There wasn't any theme? It was just the music that was different?
Yeah, basically, yeah.
Okay.
Your pub is the only one that has cages there, Shadow.
Okay. Well, do people in the location Shadow up?
Say that again?
Do people want to lock Agent Shadow up? What has he done?
Yeah. just Agent M does.
Stop it.
Then we meet Kristen for the first time. He was played by David Duchovny's girlfriend at the time.
That's right.
Perry Reeves.
Indeedy. And nice. You could actually feel the tension between them, the real life sexual tension. It would come out on screen quite well, I thought.
Yeah, I noticed that too when I last rewatched it. You can definitely tell there's some chemistry going on between them. So that at least filled in a little bit of what this episode's kind of lacking in other areas.
Mm-hmm. But we'll go back to that later, because it goes into my biggest problem in the episode myself. Then they kill again, and then the police raid Kirsten's apartment. Well, it's not apartment; it's a house, isn't it? I do apologize.
Oh yeah,
it's a house.
Mm. and then Moda stays and makes out with Kirsten.
And she doesn't have any mirrors in her house either.
No, she doesn't. No. And yeah, for me personally, that didn't work.
The mirror thing or the house?
That basically the tension between those two didn't work for me.
And you're talking about the one night stand junk.
Yeah. Didn't. I mean, it felt to me like a Act Five fanfic.
Yeah, I can see what you're saying. Because yeah, they don't look like they go together, and even the opposites attract thing doesn't. Mm. I know what you meant. They didn't kind of fit.
Mm. I mean, if the writers were going for my goodness, Mode is so broken up, you know, he doesn't know what he's doing type of feel, then I would understand that. But that didn't come across on screen whatsoever.
Yeah, that's a good point.
He didn't, as I recall, he didn't really act like he was all that traumatized by what happened.
No, exactly.
His partner. I mean, I think I would have to.
Agent Angela, you were saying?
Sorry, I was going to just jump in with. I read something that Chris Carter commented at one point on that episode, and he said, "This guy's been a monk. Let him be human." So I guess they just wanted to put that in there for those kind of reasons. I always thought, every time I've watched this episode, if Scully could see that remotely, what would she be thinking? Here I've been abducted. What are you doing, buddy? Just thought I'd throw that in there.
Yeah, I know. It's
good chem lab analysis there. I like it.
Yeah.
She's probably saying, "You better be wearing protection."
And leave my clothes alone.
Yeah.
Back to that again, are we?
I'm sorry.
Yeah, there you go.
In the first thing in the morning at, I made the note at the time here, 5:47 a.m. Kirsten is walking through the haze, and John grabs her, tells her she can live forever and we can come back. And he needs to kill him, obviously meaning Moda.
Yeah, she needs to take a life.
Exactly, yes.
Well, back
at five.
Backing up.
At 5:47. Sorry, you go ahead. Sorry.
I was just going to say, weren't we missing a scene where Mulder was shaving and he cut himself?
That was corny.
Or is that what?
Yeah, no, you're right. Yeah. That was corny. That's when Shane was talking about how the chemistry didn't match. That's just another example. Okay. It was just so.
Yeah.
It looked so corny and contrived and expected.
Mm. Yeah, I agree with that.
Sorry, I was trying to gloss over that. I do apologize.
No, sorry.
And yes, first of all, 5:47 a.m. I don't know about you, but I've never seen 5:47 a.m.
Yeah, I don't think it's in real life. I thought you were on the show. Yeah.
No. I don't know. Well, saying that though, I mean, I don't. You live out that way, Angela. Is that a normal time in the morning?
Actually, I'm a pretty early riser, so yeah, I have been up around those times.
And I try not to be.
Yeah. But yeah.
I'm the most productive in the mornings. I usually get the most done.
Productive out of us. Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, once it hits about 12, I start losing steam most of the time. I'm just naturally like that, I guess.
Yeah, because I know for a fact that I know morning news programs start in Los Angeles at 5:30 a.m., so...
Oh yeah, that would be here too. We're in the same time zone.
Yeah. And then we think that Kirsten's going to kill Moda with those two knives. Now go back to when you first saw the episode many years ago. Well, probably. Did you actually think that she was going to try to injure Moda in any way, or did you not think that?
I think I kind of got the vibe that he was being kind of conned, but I could see both sides. But they did get me on that. I could definitely see her, you know, maybe she's pulling one on him and she's going to get him.
I thought she might at first, but then it became pretty apparent that not. So I guess I'm along the same lines on that.
So my attitude is, he's the hero. They're not going to kill him off.
Why didn't I kill?
Or
well,
try
not
to.
Kill, but hurt him.
Just
yeah.
stab, yeah.
Yeah, or bite him,
just
maybe.
Cut his jugular. At least a wrist or two.
Two.
And then we have
you're going to get seventh grade humor now, Shane. I hope you know a 2 7th grade mentality is going to come out here, me and him.
It ain't a problem. It's not a problem at all. Okay. No problem at all. If it wasn't 22:11 at night for me, I'll probably be joining you. then we have a big fight scene between John and Mulder. And then we have the great little fight in the garage, and that's another bit that was actually on the Secrets of the X-Files VHS. Just that little bit when they get into the car and Mulder gets dragged to the sunroof.
Okay.
That was on the VHS as well. And that until I saw the season box, that was the only bits of the episode I ever saw. And then, to mention, they actually made it like a good episode. Then I was, imagine my disappointment when I actually got around to seeing the complete episode. we had the fight from the female. She dies. Then she said, Kirsten said she won't leave without John. Kirsten drives away. And Kirsten is pouring gasoline inside the garage and around her house. And then kabloomy.
They go out in a blaze of glory.
Yes.
Fire, fire. Yeah, yeah. Sorry. Yeah, if you're waiting for something intelligent from me or him, you're not going to get it at the moment.
I just know it's almost happy hour. I'm getting thirsty.
Oh, no.
Isn't a problem. But, apparently, according to what I've read in front of me, some female fans were extremely jealous of the sight of David Duchovny kissing Perry Reeves on screen.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
Yes. I know, Adrian Angela, you have got a small bit of background information. Do you want to take it?
Yeah, actually, like you already mentioned, Perry Reeves was David Duchovny's current girlfriend at the time. And I read that he actually met her while he was buying suits, and he hates wearing suits from what I've read. And he asked her if he should buy the blue one or the gray one, and she told him to buy both. And then not that much longer, I guess, they got together, and then she ended up being cast in this role. So a little bit of a background story there.
Excellent. Anybody got anything else on this episode?
Yeah, I thought it was interesting, the timing of this episode, because I believe it was around 1990. Vampires were kind of having the go around in popular culture. Like, you remember, I think Interview with the Vampire came out around that same time. And then after a while, vampires went out again with things like movies and books and TV shows. And then they recently come around again. So I think it's kind of interesting timing. The writers decided to do a vampire story with the X-Files. It's probably not a coincidence.
And so, wasn't Interview with a Vampire came out about that same time?
I think within 2 years of that episode. I remember seeing it in the theater. I thought it was pretty good. And then vampires were kind of out of vogue for a while, a few years after that. Then they came around again. Like a few years ago. So
yeah.
I thought that was interesting.
And the only other thing I would say on it is it's the usual thing that I say, Mark Snow's music saves the bad episodes. So again, in this one, I kind of like the music that he did. So the show's watchable just to hear the music, I think.
What about that music in the nightclub? That didn't sound like Mark Snow.
That's funny. I was just thinking of that today when I was doing the rewatch. I'm like, I saw that and I'm like, that doesn't sound like Mark Snow, because I learned from Gender Bender when they went into the club there. I don't know if you guys remember when they go into the club in Gender Bender.
Oh, yeah. That music was cool. I have a track of that.
Yeah, and that is Mark Snow. Yeah, that was. So that made me think maybe this could be Mark Snow, but this sounded so much like a regular, you know, goth band that.
Yeah, it did.
I got an app on my iPhone that's called. I have to get back to you guys on that, but.
Soundhound?
Shazam.
Oh, yeah, Shazam. I don't have that, but I've heard of it.
Go do it. Go do your homework.
Go do it, my friend. Go do it.
I would love to know who does that. If Mark, it would be cool if it was Mark.
Yeah, me too.
Y'all talk amongst yourselves again. I'll go to my MacBook and see what I can find out.
Okay.
I mean, overall, I said we're going to get into our ratings a little bit later on, but overall, for me personally, it felt more like an X-Files fanfic, as I said earlier on. It does, without Agent Scully being there, it simply doesn't feel right.
Yeah, no, you're definitely right about that.
Yeah, I think
so too. And I've always wondered, actually, and maybe we could make a discussion point on this. If the series, the X-Files series, was just Agent Mulder on his own, we didn't have Scully, we just had him.
I don't think it would have worked very well.
Yeah, first of all, would it have worked? And second of all, would we be more forgiving of this episode?
I know you probably have a lot more one night stands, but
yeah, probably. I don't know. Yeah. I think it wouldn't have been quite as interesting, personally.
And just to so you guys know, I don't know if you're still working on M, but when I Googled that song. The first thing I came up, it doesn't look like they know who did it. There's somebody's asking, Mulder goes to a goth bar called Teps to track down a hunch. There's a heavy song in the background with what sounds like two voices, one male, one female. What's the song?
Yeah.
Actually, that could be X. There's a band called X. They're not a goth band, though. I wonder if it could be the band X. I'm not positive, though. Sorry to interject there, but I just saw a specific question on that Teps bar music.
That'd be cool if it was.
Yeah.
I thought the name of that bar was kind of clever, too, because I think it was supposed to be named after Vlad Teps, which was...
Yep.
Yeah, it was.
Which you see really briefly on the wall.
Yeah, yes, it was. Red the Impaler.
Yeah, I thought so.
Yes.
So that was a kind of a cool little historical bit in there that they named the club after him.
And also, Kristen's last name could be an allusion to...
Killar?
Yeah.
Kristen Killar. Oh, yeah. I didn't think...
Composed the score for the 1992 Bram Stoker's Dracula.
Oh, yeah. I never thought of that, but that's true.
I don't know if I have it here, guys. I'm sorry.
No, there's no problem. No problem at all.
I'll just have to get back to you guys on that.
Overall, as I said, there's one decent scene in this episode, and that's
the credits.
The opening. No, I was going to say the opening. You're close. I was actually going to say the scene. In the office at the start.
Oh, yeah.
I like that scene. Yeah, that's a good one. At the very beginning.
Yeah.
But that's it. Any luck? Agent M on finding that or not really?
No, I was unable to find that file. I don't even know if I recorded that part. So I may have to queue up the DVD and then Shazam, but I can get back to you on that. Unless you want it now, then I'll work on it.
No. Hopefully, if Agent Emma's got it, I'll pop it in the show notes.
Well, let me try Netflix while you guys are talking and see if it's still playing on Netflix, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
I believe so.
Okay.
I have it on Amazon. But, yeah, it may be.
I think they're on all three now, Netflix, Amazon, and Hulu.
It's probably on YouTube, too. I don't know. Maybe not. I don't know.
On Netflix.
No.
Well, I'll just see what the like I said, see what the Shazam will do.
That's cool. Is there anything else you want to talk about this episode, or?
I will say one thing, a technical aspect. You guys didn't know, so you're talking about the red sky and the smoke and everything. And I was thinking how they achieve that. I think it's like the chromo key, like, you know, when you use the blue sky. Like, same thing with the football games. Now, whoever invented that, you know, with the green field, and you can put all the logos right there floating on the field. And that's what I was thinking, seeing the blue sky that they filmed behind the actors and then put the red smoke in there and everything. Anyway, that's just my 2 cents worth.
Well, I know
I'm sure somebody might put me wrong when we have to release this episode, but I believe that was British.
That was what?
That was a British invention.
Well, you guys did good then. I think chromo keys.
I didn't know that.
Green screen, blue screen.
Yeah, I believe that was it was originally done in the 70s for Doctor Who.
That's cool. But I know that some of the skies were red because there's another movie too. What is it? With Samuel L. Jackson that was filmed during the Canyon Fires too, and the same deal happened where the sky was just always seemed to be always like reddish or orange. Lakewood Terrace. You guys ever see that? Lakewood? I think it's called.
No, never.
Check
it
out.
Sorry.
It could be
real smoke in the background too, so.
Yeah, well, that was filmed during the Canyon Fires too, so if you guys ever want, if you're in the mood for a really good, it's a good suspenseful movie with Samuel L. Jackson and whoever else. But yeah, it was the same, probably filmed, maybe they were filming at the same time this episode was being filmed. I'm not positive, but must have been if it's the canyon.
Well, of course, you must remember this episode was filmed in British Columbia.
All right, guys, I got Netflix pulled up. Give me a second. Whoops.
What's it called again? Lakewood Terrace?
Lakewood Terrace, yeah.
That name sounds familiar. I've heard of it.
Really? It's a really good movie. And Shane, yeah, you're right. I forgot they weren't filmed.
So if you guys could think of an antidote as a better vampire story, what would you guys pick? Like if you wanted to, after watching 3, go watch a good vampire movie or TV show. What do you think it would be?
True Blood.
Buffy.
True Blood.
Buffy.
I don't even know any vampire movies. I never watch vampire movies.
My favorite is Let the Right One In. If you guys ever heard of that, it's a sweet...
Another one I've never heard of.
It's a Swedish one. I've watched it dubbed into English. It's a bit gory, but it's a really good vampire story. So that's my little recommendation. If you ever...
Let me write some of these down. I grab a piece of paper. So what's it called?
It's Let the Right One In.
Right isn't you turning right, I'm assuming?
No, it's like Let the Right One In. The whole thing of it is that a vampire has to be asked permission in order to enter your doorway.
Okay.
Kind of a part of the theme behind it. Yeah.
Cool. That's written down on my piece of paper.
Yeah, it's available in Swedish with subtitles, and it's dubbed into English also. But either way, it's really good. My top favorite vampire movie right now.
I'll check that out tomorrow night. But I think we've come to the end of the episode discussion, so we'll play this sort of advert for this lovely podcast, and we'll be right back in 2 seconds.
Debuting in January 2014, it's Tongue Tied, a Red Dwarf podcast featuring the boys from The Dwarf, Brent Johnson of Doctor Who podcast, The Quest is the Quest, and I'm Paul Towsley of Towsley TARDIS podcast. Brent just finished his year-long quest to review every episode of Doctor Who's 50-year history, and I basically stole his format and suggested that we do the same thing for Red Dwarf. Since there are only 10 seasons, we'll have some more time for slobbing about, drinking warm lager, and having a laugh or two. I just finished straining the cigarette butts out of last night's lager, and I'm about to sit down with a tongue-glazing vindaloo. The best companion for warm beer and curry is Season 1 of Red Dwarf. I'll be watching all 6 episodes, then I'll probably take a nap. When that's done, I'll sit down with my friend Brent and tell you all about it. You can look forward to a new Tongue Tied podcast each month in 2014. So stay tuned on Facebook, iTunes, Podbean, Libsyn, and paultowsley.com for more information about Tongue Tied, a Red Dwarf podcast.
We're back, and hopefully everyone enjoyed that lovely ad for podcast that you should really all check out. It's one of my personal favorites. Anyway, as we're back, I'm just going to quickly go around the room, and we're going to start with Agent Angela. Out of 10, Agent Angela, what would you give this?
I'd probably give it about a 6.8 compared to everything else, just off the top of my head.
Okay. Agent M?
I'd give it about a 6.
6. Okay, Agent Shadow?
That's probably, compared to everything, it's probably about there. It's in that same 6 range, I guess.
Yeah, I would agree with you 100% on that myself. I mean, compared to some of the others, tripe we reviewed on this show, it's not as bad as it, some of the other stuff that we reviewed, or to be honest with you, some of the other stuff that we're going to review in the future. To be honest,
yeah,
with
that's
you,
what I was going to say. Actually, if I could interject one last thing about this, the episode.
Go, take
it's
it, please.
Basically what you just said there. X-Files episodes, even the bad ones, are better than most shows out there. I mean, yeah, there's some, like, production, you know, back because it was back in the 90s, you're not going to get the special effects maybe, but the concept and just the actors, the worst X-Files episode is still watchable, you know, so, I mean, the worst one
is absolutely
better.
Okay, even the one with Burt Reynolds?
Yeah.
Oh, that's one of the worst. yeah, there's a couple bad ones near the very end of the run. There was an AD, Hollywood AD. Was that one?
Oh, I like that one. That's
I like
of.
That episode. It's
of?
Funny.
Which one am I thinking of then? X-Cops? No, I forget what it was. But
oh, I love that episode. Don't say anything bad about that one.
I forget which one it
I think
was.
The parts of that episode are pretty funny, too.
Okay. Well, you guys know what I'm talking about, though. This...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I do know what you mean.
I mean,
all
right. Yeah, for me personally... watching it as the season box has come out, I was, 14, 15 at the time when they were releasing them. Some episodes I absolutely loved growing up as a teenager, but I look back on them and I think they're awful now. And whether that's just... And if so disappointing watching them again. One that springs out to mind is DPO from the third season.
Oh yeah, that's a good episode.
I loved it when I was a kid, but when I recently rewatched it, I didn't like it at all.
I thought it was a fairly good one. I mean, it's not as good as some other episodes, but I think it's all right.
Yeah, compared to this one, which I didn't think was very good at the time, and I still don't. But on the other hand, it's for me personally, it hasn't dropped off as much, if you know what I mean.
That's pretty interesting. So right now, would you think you consider 3 actually better than DPO?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. I'd rather watch DPO, but I know what you mean, though. Sometimes, like, Jack Black can get kind of corny, you know, so.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I can see what you're saying. I know what you're saying. And I felt the same way about 3 when I first, you know, I used to hate it. And then as I watched, I'm like, it's not as bad as I thought. It's still not great, but I can watch it.
I'd still rather watch DPO, definitely, given the choice between the two.
DPO. I will say when, you know, I came at X-Files right at the second season, so I didn't know the character. So I kind of liked it, but then when I started watching it in this order, then it was just like, it kind of sucks. But uh-oh.
What?
I hear Big Ben. There's Big Ben again.
It's I bought it just in honor of Shane, so it would ring at the end of the show. Yeah,
that's signaling happy hour, isn't it?
Yeah,
that's
funny.
It's always happy. It's always happy hour somewhere.
Oh yeah,
indeed. Anyway, I will just quickly let everyone know what we should be reviewing next time. I know at the end of our last episode, I said our next episode would be on Buffy Beerbird. I'm sorry about that, but things have happened, and unfortunately I can't release that episode yet. So, but we will be going back to that. I do promise you we will be going back to that. But the next episode that we'll be releasing is quite unusual, actually, because it's not an actual episode. It's a storyline. It's going to be on Twin Peaks. However, it's going to be on a Pacific storyline within Twin Peaks. It's kind of difficult to explain, but what I do is, if you're not part of the Facebook group, please join. Just go onto Facebook and search for Oh No You Didn't. Or if you can't find it, please drop me a line at my Twitter account, which is Siren Shane, that's CIRENSHANE, and I will give you a link to the group, and I will be putting the video of what we're going to be reviewing next time into the group a couple of days after this guest released. But all in all, I will say cheerio, unless anybody else has got anything to say.
Oh, thanks so much for having us.
Oh, yeah, yes, definitely. Thanks for having us, Shane.
It was fun. It was a blast.
Brilliant. Excellent, brilliant. So say goodbye, everyone.
Bye.
Goodbye, everyone.